Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Breaking news, Cole Hamels is still a Philly. And it's been a long time since he's given up a hit. Great to have you with us on this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have done an incredible job over the years, and I mean incredible, of serving their clients. It's more than, for them, it's much more than just, okay, here's some insurance and go ahead and knock yourself out, and when you're covered, you're fine. It's personal to them. And when you become a client of Purdy Insurance, it is absolutely personal to them and very important to them that you are well taken care of. And not only that, it's the right insurance for the right price. They know it's a combination of the two. And that's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us this week. Kevin is on vacation this week. Kyle is in today. Kyle, welcome back. Great to hear from you.
Always glad to be back, Steve. It's a pleasure.
Greg Pickle from PennLive.com is going to be joining us today. Tomorrow, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com will be on the show. Wednesday, David Jones will be on the show from the Patriot News. Friday, we'll have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. And also, out at the Big Ten meetings in Chicago, we will have Corey Geiger from the Altoona Mirror joining us. And it looks like we're going to get Lou Prado set up on the show later this week as well. Then after that, somebody else is going to take a vacation for once. I will take next week off. And it's been a year. I literally. And if people who know follow this show know, if I mean, think about it, when's the last day I was off? So I've had literally in the past year, I've had 1 3-day weekend, one, and that was Memorial Day weekend. You're saying, well, what about New Year's and Christmas and the 4th of July? 4th of July, we were on both Friday and Monday. New Year's. Remember, you know, and part of this is what I also do with football, basketball. New Year's 31st, I was in Wisconsin doing basketball. In fact, we did the show that day from Madison. And I had basketball at Rutgers on the 2nd. And Christmas included the Pinstripe Bowl on Saturday the 27th. So I've had 1 3-day weekend, literally, in the past year. Is it a complaint? Nope, not in the least. Not from here. If my late parents, who just absolutely meant the world to me, taught me so many things in life, so many things. Long list. Look, they're human. Do they ever make mistakes? Yeah. Whatever. Fine. You know what? Everybody makes mistakes. Except for Kevin, and he keeps pointing that out to us. Oh, Kyle, stop laughing.
I was trying to be polite.
Okay. But my parents, you know what was really important to them? Really important. And they instilled it in my brother and me very much. My brother is successful. Owns the business, the whole thing. They really instilled in us the value of work ethic. They pounded it home to us all the time. You have to have a rock-solid work ethic. That if you're the one that applies yourself, you're the one that puts the nose to the grindstone, you're the one that shows up every day, you're the one that's the effort person, right? You then make yourself of value to whatever company you're working for. And so when I say I've had 1 3-day weekend of the year, that's just a fact. It's not a complaint. You don't think I don't enjoy showing up here every day and doing this show? Oof, I love showing up here every day and doing this show. It doesn't hurt to have a few days off. Just kind of sleep in, relax a little bit, and whatever. Yeah, okay. But that's all it is. Every day, you know, you talk about. Now, are some of these shows harder than others? Obviously, we've had a couple here in the last 3 years ago last week. A series of shows that were not easy to show up and do. In fact, if you recall that, I canceled my vacation that year. Canceled it because I felt that I was needed by everybody I worked for to be here. So I canceled vacation that year. Well, no need to do that this time. A Big Ten media day at the end of the week. You have football media day next week. There isn't going to be anything happening on football media day that I won't be able to handle the first Monday we get back. Okay. It won't be able. And we're going to have Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, the first day I'm back to talk about the business of sports. But at that stage, after this week, the next show would be Monday, August 10th. At that stage, what are you, 26 days away from the opener? I think it's enough of a buffer between starting up and coming back and then getting to the first games of the year. So we're looking forward to that very, very much. So that's the schedule we have. That's, you know, there'll be more guests to come later this week, but the guest list is going to be Greg Pickle today from PennLive.com. We're going to talk some recruiting with Greg. Tomorrow, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com. On Braxton Miller's move and other Big Ten news and notes. David Jones on Wednesday, Patriot News. Lou Prado will be on this week. I haven't just picked the day yet with Lou. And on Friday, Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror from the Big Ten Media Day in Chicago. And also Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, with the trade deadline coming up. Johnny Cueto goes to the Royals, and that's a big one for Kansas City. When I give the Royals credit, they're going for it. They're going for it. And that's the big part in this that I see. What was the one difference last year between Kansas City and San Francisco in the World Series? The big difference was San Francisco had an ace in Madison Bumgarner. Kansas City did not. I think Kansas City felt, and maybe they still feel, but they felt in October of last year that they had an ace in development in Ventura. 100-mile-per-hour fastball, interesting makeup, brings a lot of physical ability to the table. But he has not had a good year this year, to the point where you're set down to AAA, and then we had another injury on the staff. They had to bring him right back up less than 24 hours later. But when you're taking a guy that you think going into the year has the chance to be your ace, and then in July you're sending him to AAA, that's an indication of problems at the lead of your rotation. Well, they solved that with Johnny Cueto. Yeah, they gave up Finnegan, and Finnegan, I thought, pitched really well in the postseason last year for them. But he's in the minors right now. But it's a great arm for the Reds to pick up. And then two other minor leaguers. They get Johnny Cueto, who, like Cole Hamels, coming off a great last start. Cueto didn't throw a no-hitter, but his last start was really, really good. And they get him as the lead guy. He's the guy that you want to hand the ball to in Game 1 of the American League Championship Series, Game 1 of the Division Series, and Game 1 of the World Series. That's the kind of guy you want to hand the ball to. Hamels is in a situation of Dodgers and Rangers appear to be the two leads for him. The Yankees do not want to give up their top prospects. They don't want to do it. Simple as that. And I think that that shows you something about the change in mentality that the Yankees have right now about their team. As for the Dodgers, the key with them is Zach Greinke. they're not so sure that Greinke is going to be a part of what they're doing next year. Greinke has an opt-out in his contract, and he can opt out at the end of this year, and they expect him to because, in all likelihood, he wants to go after max money. When you bring in Hamels, for example, they would be bringing in Hamels to win this year, but they also would have three more years with the idea that he'd be the one that would replace Greinke because the Dodger management has not shown an inclination to give long-term contracts to pitchers outside of what you saw from Clayton Kershaw. Dave in Sunbury. Hello, Dave. Welcome.
Hi, Steve.
How are you, Dave?
Well, I was just wanting to know what's going on. With that, I would preface that by saying I was in the hospital Thursday till this afternoon.
Oh, I hope everything's better here. Since you're out talking to us, you must be feeling better.
Well, they kicked me out.
They kicked you out?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good sign, Dave.
Yeah. And then basically they can't make no more money off you. Get going.
I'm sure you're doing better.
Well, I had chest pains, but I knew it was on the right side, so I know it's my respiratory acting up.
There you go.
But then there was some blood clots that they were worried about. That's why they hung me around for a couple of days.
Well, hopefully you're feeling better and you're doing better. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was kind of upset yesterday that the way Greinke pitched and then the way that was lost, and they had that guy under contract beginning of the year and let him go. The guy with the walk-off hit.
Right.
You know, I said, well, it's policies, it's moves. And you said something to me that I didn't think they would, you know. I told my brother, I said, well, they'll sign the Dodgers. Dodgers will sign him. But then you said, you know, well, they don't like you long kind of contracts out there.
To pitchers. Pitchers. Okay, there's a difference between how they feel about long-term contracts to pitchers versus long-term contracts to positional players. And I think part of it has to do with all the arm trouble that you've seen guys have over the years. That's why they were adverse. Kershaw was different. They gave him a long-term contract, but they probably will not give a long-term contract to Greinke.
Yeah. That's why he's going up to Cole Hamill. But I always thought they were going to go after Price in Detroit.
Well, Price is a rental, and the one thing about acquiring Price at this stage is that you then risk starting next year with Kershaw and having to fill spots 2 and 3 because Price won't be part of the mix next year either. So the Dodgers have a lot of cash, but they also have a little trouble pulling the trigger on long-term pitcher deals. That's why Hamels is already signed. That actually is a plus in sending him to Los Angeles. The Rangers would want to acquire Hamels, not necessarily for now. The Rangers, I think, the thought process in Arlington is that they'll have Hamels to start next year in combination with Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish, of course, has sat out this entire year, and the Rangers will be thinking about, hey, April will have a 1-2 punch of Darvish and Hamels together. That's what their thought process is.
Yeah, well, like I said, I thought it was fat. You know, they were fat set on Greinke. Well, then you said, well, sometimes, believe it or not, you're so close to the situation that you don't see, you know, what's going on in the weeds. You're not really looking.
Well, Greinke can opt out at the end of this year.
Yeah, I know.
And the way he's pitching, he can get a max deal somewhere.
From anybody, basically.
And, well, not everybody, but probably realistically 5 or 6 teams that can afford him that would go after him pretty hard.
I'm getting ready to say those who can pay.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for taking the phone call.
Hey, buddy, it's good. Hey, you know, feel better. I'm sure they gave you some sort of blood thinner to help you out there.
Well, I'm on all kinds of new medicines.
Okay. Well, you start feeling better because we need to keep that Dave from Sunbury call coming in, okay?
Okay.
All right, Dave. 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Walwalter's out here in Beaver Springs. Why do Beaver Motors customers drive out in the middle of nowhere to Beaver Springs to buy cars? Is it Gilly's good looks? Or is it the outstanding service department? Is it the beautiful fields and mountains? Or the fact that no one can beat their deals? Is it my tremendous singing voice? Or their huge selection of Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram? We don't really know. But we'd like to hear your opinion. So come see the good folks at Beaver Motors, remembering that the middle of nowhere is still halfway to somewhere. And Beaver Motors Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram is halfway between Sealands Grove and Lewistown on Route 522 in Beaver Springs. Or visit us on the web, halfway between your kitchen and your dining room, at www.beavermotors.net. And tell them Walt and Gilly sent you.
Bobby, you're here again.
Yeah, my doctor told me to reduce stress at work, so I come to Buffalo Wild Wings to eat lunch and watch sports. I get to pick one of seven entrees, like sandwiches and salads, plus one of seven sides.
Well, I like sides.
It's so affordable, I can finally take a vacation.
Where are you going to go?
Here, Tim, here.
Introducing the new B-Dubs Fast Break Lunch Menu, starting at just $6.49. Dine in or order takeout weekdays between 11 and 2. Participation and availability may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Flo from Progressive here on a road trip with Bob, who owns a dry cleaning service.
Well, it's not really a road trip. We're only going a mile.
In a mile, you can save money on your commercial auto insurance with discounts like Safe Driver, Business Experience, and Paid in Full.
Nice.
So, expert to expert, how would you get a large mustard stain out of white cotton?
Why?
Just planning out our road snacks.
We're only going a mile, Flo.
I can eat a lot of hot dogs in a mile, Bob.
Good point.
Discounts to save your business money. Visit Progressive.com to learn more. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Toward the bottom of the hour, Greg Pickle from Penn Live is going to be joining us coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, 4:06. Greg Pickle from PennLive.com will join us. Tomorrow, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. Dave Jones from the Patriot News on Wednesday. Lou Prado at some point later in this week. Lou and I still have to work out a day in time to make sure he's on. We're going to be talking about the history of numbers and also the history of names on jerseys on uniforms. We'll also have on with us on Friday Corey Geiger from Big Ten Media Day in Chicago. He'll be joining us, Corey, courtesy of the Altoona Mirror. And also on Friday, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. The Pirates are on the road this week at Minnesota. The Steelers camp is underway in full force. And on top of that, it is an interesting time in the NFL. 27 weeks and counting on Tom Brady. 27 weeks and counting on Tom Brady. Okay. Here is the crux of the issue. You know what the fine is, Kyle, for improperly inflated footballs? You know what? There's actually a rule. You know what the fine is?
No. What is it, Steve?
$25,000. Okay? No suspension, $25,000. Now, Brady's been suspended for four games. The NFLPA says they're trying to work out something with the NFL, but Brady is not going to accept days off. Now, if they want to fine him and fine him extensively for a lack of initial cooperation in the probe, okay. But if Roger Goodell wants to suspend him a game, what a fun thing to have in the year of Super Bowl 50. One of your top stars suing the league. A scenario the Shield would like to avoid. The Boston Olympic bid doesn't have the support of the mayor. Oh, I wish Kevin wasn't out there game hunting right now. But I told him there isn't much to hunt in Antarctica.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hubble's Wharf. And, of course, today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Phillies are going to make a donation to Thon for tickets purchased at the game coming up Thursday night when the Phillies take on the Atlanta Braves. It'll be Thon night at Citizens Bank Park, and James Franklin will throw out the ceremonial first pitch at Citizens Bank Park on Thursday night. So that'll be great to see that happen, and the fact that they are also donating proceeds from that game to Thon. So, and for James Franklin, who grew up about 25 minutes away from, of course, when he was growing up, it would have been the Vet. Well, now he's going to be able to throw out a first pitch at Citizens Bank Park on Thursday night. They take on the Braves. And Penn State will be back in Philadelphia September 5th at the Link across the parking lot when they take on Temple at the Link in Philadelphia September 5th. Mentioned before the break, let's see, we're still waiting on, you know, what will the Phillies do with Cole Hamels? They're going to get some offers. The Rangers and the Dodgers would be the leaders for this at this particular time. And we'll see how that one plays out. Meanwhile, in Olympic news, Boston is officially out as the U.S. candidate for the Olympics in 2024. They have had all sorts of problems with this bid, with the latest being Mayor Marty Walsh. And the bid for the Olympics in Boston ended today. The city and the U.S. Olympic Committee severed ties after a board teleconference that took place today. And the bid process is now open. Los Angeles appears to be the likely choice for the U.S. bid in 2024. The bid had gone south within days of its beginning in January. And as you recall, Kevin was all excited about the Boston bid, and I told him it was going to fail. And the reason I told him it was going to fail is you have to understand the dynamics of that area. Number one, people there are not going to put up with the security, and they're not going to put up with more traffic. There's not going to. Traffic in Boston is already severe to begin with. Between 93, 128, 495, Mass Pike, you know, South Shore, North Shore, it doesn't matter. And just for pure traffic, people were not going to put up with it, and they weren't going to put up with the security. And Boston was not going to shut down just to have the Olympics. Well, as time went, they said they were going to put it to a vote. And I predicted back in March on the show, I said, if they vote, it'll be 60-40 against. This is back in March. The latest poll taken over the weekend in Boston, in Massachusetts, because the entire state would have to vote. It just would not be Boston. The entire state would have to vote. The support level was 40% for and 60% against. Well, the issue was this for Boston's Mayor Marty Walsh. He announced today that he was not going to be pressured into signing off as the host city on the contract until he received assurances that cost overruns would not be passed on to the taxpayers. And there were going to be subsequent meetings to talk about this. And Governor Charlie Baker, same story, did not want to pledge his support because he wanted to see the full report from a consulting group, and that wasn't going to be scheduled to be completed until next month. You and I both know that any project of this magnitude is not going to come in under budget. And if you tell me in 2015, and let's just use round numbers here, if you tell me in 2015 it cost $50 million to build a velodrome for 2024, you and I both darn well know there is no way on the planet that when they actually start to build this in 2022, it's still going to be a $50 million project. 7 years from now, that project's going to cost $70 to $75 million. That's just the way it is. Common sense tells you that. And they understood that to their credit. To their credit, they understood that. And they did not want the cost overruns passed on to the taxpayers. Why should the taxpayers have to foot the bill for a 2.5-week track meet? If the U.S. Olympic Committee and the International Olympic Committee wants Boston to be the host site, then the International Olympic Committee and the U.S. Olympic Committee should build the site. It's their event. As I've said before, I don't care if it's ever in the United States again. Could care less. I don't want to be wasting money on something that takes 2.5 weeks. I just mentioned James Franklin's going to throw out the first pitch at Citizens Bank Park. Citizens Bank Park was built to last and serve 30 years. You'd hope longer, but it was built to last 30 years at minimum and be used a minimum of 81 times a year, if not more. The link was built the same way, built to last for years. Same story with Heinz Field, same story with Consol Energy, same story with First Union down in Philadelphia, same story with PNC Park, same story up here with the Jordan Center, and with Medler Field and Bronner Park, where some state money was used, but not completely. I mean, these things are built to have a lasting effect in the community where it'll benefit businesses around there, restaurants, hotels, which, by the way, restaurants employ people. Hotels employ people. You know, even part-time people, such as parking attendants, ushers, things like that, where they get some income during the course of the year that come from having a ball club or a football team or a hockey or basketball team there, as opposed to a 2.5-week track meet, where there's no lasting effect to that. None. Zero. Whether it's the International Olympic Committee or FIFA, my trust level's very low And they think it's such an awesome and incredible honor to host that you'll bend over backwards and do whatever. And how wrong they are. How wrong they are. The Olympics are extremely prestigious, but you don't mortgage your future, because there were some reports in Boston that they would be paying on this up to 2075. 2075 for a 2.5 week track meet? Really? Now, for Los Angeles, this is not a simple bid either. And remember, in Los Angeles, now they're talking about the 2024 bid here. So you have to remember that. It's 2024. But keep in mind, the Olympics have been held twice in Los Angeles, in 32 and in 84. But here's the difference. The difference is that the Coliseum, which is older now, no question, doesn't have the track in it anymore. The track's gone. They took the track out. You'd have to build an entirely new Olympic stadium with a track in it to host the Olympics. That facility in Los Angeles, like Boston, doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. Again, you have to have an Olympic stadium that has a track in it. It doesn't exist. You'd have to build a whole new structure to do it. And then have a plan for it afterward. Now, in Boston, the plan was to then eventually make it, I don't know, what was it going to be, 75,000 seat stadium, 60,000 seats. And they're going to pare it down to 25,000. They're going to make it the home of the soccer team, the New England Revolution, which currently plays, I think, at Gillette Stadium. But it makes no economic sense at all to host the Olympics. None. Zero. And the difference between the United States and other entities is that the government, the United States government, won't fund the games. And justifiably so. We pay for enough things. Track meets shouldn't be one of them. The only track meet I would endorse our government putting money into would be Special Olympics. That's the only track meet I would want my government to put money into. Other than that, you go with private funding, sourcing, commercial entities, advertising, whatever it takes. That's the model you have to use. But the United States, like I said, if there is never another Olympic Games in this country, I could care less. There's no long-term benefit to having it. Citizens Bank Park, I mentioned James Franklin throwing out the first pitch there on Thursday night before the Braves game. Lasting. There every year. Link, Heinz Field, PNC Park, Consol Energy, even up here with some of the money put in for the Jordan Center, some for Medler Field, LeBron Park, all lasting effect. There all the time. They're always being used. Concerts, events, charities. What the heck are you going to do with the velodrome? And the problem is giving out 2015 numbers and guesstimating what costs will be in 2022, you can't do that anymore. And Boston is officially out of the Olympic Games. They're officially out. Now, were they going to get the Olympic Games in 2024? I don't know. But the USOC, I think, felt that the 2024 Games, I think they have felt strongly that the 2024 Games were the United States to lose. Rome and Paris are both in the running for it. And the United States has not hosted a summer game since Atlanta in 96, and they haven't hosted a winter game since Salt Lake City in 2002. And again, this was mishandled. Remember, when New York went after the 2012 games, the United States finished last. When the United States went for the 2016 games with Chicago, remember President Obama went over and everyone, oh my goodness, big deal. Oh yeah, it's all the president, he'll bring it home. Finished last. Finished last. Finished fourth and last. So the USOC stayed out of the 2020 race because they wanted to make sure they got 2024 on the money, and they still fouled it up. They still fouled it up. We'll come back with more in a moment. Greg Pickle, next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The record will be broken. That's right, the 100-year record is going to be broken this month if Sunbury Motors sells 80 new Fords by July 31st. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Focus for $16,863. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Ford Escape for $19,993. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new F-150 4x4 for under 30 grand. Sunbury Motors isn't taking this record lightly. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you owe it to yourself to go to Sunbury Motors before August 1st. If you want 0% on your next 2015 Focus, Fusion, Escape, Explorer, or Expedition, SMC is where you want to be. Sunbury Motors will sell 80 new Fords by July 31st. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. SMC is where you want to be to save more money on your next new Ford.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the
country.
When
I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be.
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 I want.
I
want to be.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage, and if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Susquehanna Smart Drive wants you to stay safe on the roads.
Hi, I'm Alec Matunas from Danville. Motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death for kids ages 2 to 19. Whether you drive or not, it is smart to be a good passenger by always wearing your seatbelt. Make sure you are buckled up every time you get in the car. Together, we can work to keep our roads safe for everyone.
Proud supporters of Susquehanna Smart Drive, Zimmerman's Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Truck, and WKOK.
The store is open. Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation brings you Half Price Susquehanna Valley, where you can buy a certificate for half the cost of its value.
This Wednesday at 9 a.m., go online for your $20 gift certificates for only $10 at the Sealands Grove Hotel. Enjoy the daily specials, apps, signature burgers, wings, and homemade dinners in the dining room or out on the patio. Shoot some pool and have good times and great food. Like them on Facebook for entertainment and specials.
Get shopping and save this week at Half Price Susquehanna Valley, only from
WKOK.com.
When your day begins, start with WKOK.com. You grab your phone anyway, so visit the mobile-friendly WKOK.com for news, AccuWeather, and all the info you need each day. Catch up with past interviews from WKOK Sunrise, listen to previous On the Mark shows, and more. Then visit WKOK.com later in the day to find out what's been happening. It's all the information you need each morning and throughout the day from News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Join us for the 29th annual Evangelical Golf Classic, sponsored by Quandell Construction Group. The tournament is Friday, August 14th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. There are morning and afternoon flights available with shotgun starts at 8 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. The tournament is a scramble format and the cost is $125 per golfer. You'll have a chance to win a 2015 Ford Fusion from Sealands Grove Ford with a hole-in-one. All money raised will support Evangelical Community Hospital's pre-hospital services. Register today. Call 570-522-4850.
Scott Kazmir to the Astros, Johnny Cueto of the Royals. Still no landing spot for Cole Hamels, who evidently doesn't need a physical now after throwing 129 pitches and a no-hitter. The Phillies have a high price for him. They should have a high price for him. There's also some talk of Chase Utley possibly going to the Angels. That is a possibility. And Jonathan Papelbon is certainly a possibility on top of it. There have been some talk about Ben Revere to the Pirates, but now the Pirates might be more focused on Mike Napoli and Shane Victorino from the Red Sox. Both of them bring something to the table that Revere doesn't have, postseason experience, which the Pirates have but don't have a lot of success at. And these are two guys that have both been highly successful in the postseason and have and that's one of the reasons they would be looking at them as possibilities in Pittsburgh, without question. So the trade rumors are going to be the ones that will be running around here for a little while. How about Jamaal Charles, the running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, diagnosed as a child with a learning disability, struggling, and eventually his family put him in Special Olympics, and that's where he found out, man, he can run. Talk about track meets. He can run. And then through tutoring and so forth, he overcame that learning disability, got a high school education, then went to Texas, and then on to the NFL with the Kansas City Chiefs. He gave a wonderful speech Saturday night at the Special Olympics World Games in Kansas City, Los Angeles. It was just, he opened up, he talked about it, and it was really a great moment. A great moment. All right, Greg Pickle next half hour from PennLive.com. Also, is expansion over in college sports? The most vulnerable conference is the Big 12. Now, everyone has signed, except for the SEC, a grant of rights. Now, what's a grant of rights? The grant of rights says that for the period of this contract, which in the case of the Big 12 is a 13-year deal, so it's got, 11 more years to run, I think, where your media rights go to the conference, which means the money goes to the conference. Well, you're saying, okay, well, if that's the case, then who can get out of that? And the Big Ten has this as well. Big Ten, Pac-12, ACC, and Big 12 all have granted rights. SEC does not. So where could expansion come from? Here's the problem with the grant of rights. And for the Big 12, this is something they need to worry about. Other schools have left conferences. Colorado, Nebraska, Colorado, the Pac-12, Nebraska, the Big Ten, Utah, the Pac-12, Missouri and Texas A&M to the SEC, obviously Pitt, Syracuse, Maryland going to the Big Ten. Here's something that's interesting. Not once, ever, has a conference that has lost a program received a reduction in money from TV rights. Never. That's the loophole. If you were Kansas, Oklahoma, or whatever, you're dissatisfied with the Big 12, that's your argument in court. Never has a conference entity lost a dime from their media rights partner, whether it's ESPN, CBS, NBC, Fox, whomever. Not one time has there ever been a reduction in money sent to the conference for distribution because a conference member left. Aha. That's the legal loophole. How can the conference be damaged by you leaving if they're still going to get the same money? Greg Pickle, PennLive.com. Next half hour, News Radio 1070.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070, WKOK Sunbury, and on WKOK.com.
CBS News, I'm Gary Nunn. Boston will not host the 20-